but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I thought it was a pretty good day for the Pac-12. Oregon State, Washington State, their media deal for 2025 announced today. I have the details at johncanzano.com if you want to check it out. But essentially, they got wide distribution. ESPN, CBS, and the CW coming together on 13 home football games. Oregon State has 7 of those. The Beavers will appear on ESPN twice, including their opener against Cal at Reser Stadium and a Friday night game against Houston at Reser Stadium. They'll also appear on CBS as they play Washington State in the first of a home-and-home series with the Cougars. The rest of the game's on the CW. Here to talk about it, Scott Barnes, the athletic director, Oregon State, joining us. How did it feel to kind of get that out in the open and get the deal out there for the public to see?
Great. Absolutely great. You know, it's been a while to get this thing put to bed, and you can see by based on the three primary broadcasters and those platforms that several entities involved here. So that does take a little bit of time, but we are elated, both in terms of the exposure it brings and the partnership with the three carriers.
Let's start with ESPN, because it was nice to see ESPN come back into the fold with the Pac-12, longtime partner. But how important was sort of the exposure that you get with that Cal game and the Houston game, moving it to a Friday night and being on ESPN?
Yeah, you know, John, really important question, particularly the platform, because what you get with ESPN is this engine, this marketing engine that goes way beyond the broadcast of the game. It's the promotional aspects during SportsCenter and other pieces as they lead up to the game and then following up after the game. So all that combined is a really important part of what we're trying to do. And so to have ESPN back, to return to the Pac-12 is really important.
The balance of exposure versus revenue. I know that, you know, any AD is going to say revenue is important, but how did that sliding scale work as you guys constructed this deal?
Yeah, you know, if the amount of revenue could solve all my problems, I'd say let's just take the revenue and not worry about anything else. But obviously,
right.
Obviously, in this case, we need both. But as you think about our trajectory, you think about this rebuild and this launch that's going to take place a year from July 1st, that exposure is super important. It becomes a catalyst for our future. It really does. So we're happy with the distribution that we have among the three partners.
The Pac-12 deal in 2025 obviously will encompass this year, and then there'll be a 2026 and beyond. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to focus just on this 25 schedule. You get kickoff times. I think it's the earliest in Pac-12 history that fans have been able to say, hey, I can plan for a game. There's no 6-day window. There's no 12-day window. You know when you're kicking off. You know what day your games are going to be played on. How vital is that to your fans who want to come out to the stadium?
Well, it's refreshing. It's you know, always, as you had mentioned, that 6-to-12-day window, it was always a guessing game, and our fans would have to wait and plan accordingly. Now, they're planning right now. And so to have that buttoned down, I think it's something that we would want to continue to pursue moving into 26 and beyond, as well as to have have those windows locked down and the times where we can. Really advantageous for us and for our fans.
The 26 and beyond piece, is it fair to say that the partners now would be part of the 26 deal, have some kind of contractual option to maybe be part of the 26 deal? How much should we look into that?
Yeah, you know, I can't comment on that. I wouldn't tell you that it is or isn't. What I will tell you is that I'm really excited about the progress that's been made on 26 and beyond, and you know, we're getting closer by the day. So that's yet to be determined on the timing, but like our progress.
The a little bit of the state of the union at Oregon State. It looks like I saw the spring game. I think you've got a team that is much improved, much deeper, better at positions, key positions, particularly quarterback. How much priority and how much emphasis, acceleration, have you been trying to get with football in particular, given how valuable we know football is to the ecosystem?
Yes, Yanni, you can slice that a lot of different ways. At the end of the day, from a media perspective, it's 80 to 90% of your revenue. From a overall athletic department, you're talking about 75% of your overall revenue for all your programs. So yes, it's critical. It's an engine that creates opportunities across all of our sports programs. With that in mind, I am super excited about where we currently sit. We've been able to ward off the suitors in the portal. We have retained, I think, an excellent group coming back and added key pieces to what we needed. I think a year under Trent Bray's belt and his staff of learning how to operate in this new crazy portal world has paid huge dividends, and their ability to retain and select. Obviously, the fuel behind that is funding to help secure those transfer portal entries and keep the ones that we had. All that said, I'm really excited about what the future of Oregon State football looks like, the immediate future.
The transfer portal, the warding off of other teams, is that getting harder? Is that getting more difficult? Or is it easier now with a little bit of transparency? How do you see that maybe versus when the portal first was a thing?
Yeah, it's an absolute train wreck. And there's no question. I mean, John, there's a nonsensical hyperinflation. We saw it in basketball. There's several reasons for it. One includes this, everybody getting to the finish line to get new deals in before the new system is in place. Because once the new system is in place, the enforcement arm, the clearinghouse, the cap management systems, there's going to be a leveling off of these crazy deals. And the reason being is, as an example, a collective now who can play highest bidder and pay whatever they want and not be accountable. In this new system, they've got to fit it into fair market value. We're calling it range of compensation. And, oh, by the way, it's got to be legitimate NIL activity. So those dollars are going to come down. So I think between this race to the finish line and the front loading that's happened because of the settlement not being approved yet, and the fact that once it's approved, new deals go into the new system, there's more accountability, there's an enforcement arm in place. We will be talking about portal windows. I serve on the Football Oversight Committee. We recommended last year that we remove the spring portal. We got rejected. We'll go back to the table. We'll look at all the portal windows, in particularly in basketball and football. And then there's the federal bill, John, that I think can help to answer your question. If we could get a federal bill, and I never thought I would be asking for help from the federal government, at this point, a federal bill will create standards that help us keep this nonsense at a more level playing field. And then I got to just call out Tennessee and tell you, John, having a coach stand up and say, this isn't right, we're not, you're sitting out and we're not paying you, go somewhere else. All of these things combined I think, will tamp down the craziness we've seen this last year in particular. And that's at a level it's never been in terms of crazy.
Yeah, the looming regulation is interesting to me because, forgive me, I'm just hopeful that there will be enforcement. How confident are you that the enforcement arm will be diligent and that there will be real punishment for those who break the rules?
Very confident. I say that having served on the enforcement committee. So, but that said, let me tell you that, the old infractions committee of the NCAA, and remember, this is not the NCAA. This is a separate entity with professional enforcement staff, nimble, small, autonomous decision-making, and a big stick. Penalties that will absolutely hurt. Those items combined will matter. Look, this is imperfect, right? Nothing's going to be perfect, but this enforcement arm is completely different than anything you've seen at the NCAA level.
Scott Barnes with us, Oregon State Athletic Director, Pac-12 announcing their 2025 media rights deal today. The exposure from that deal is great. The football team looks like it's tracking in the right direction. What is the mission? Is it a one-year mission followed by a five-year mission, or is it all-encompassing that you just have to build brand? You have to matter in football the next 5-6 years.
Yeah, being sustainable in this crazy market is critical. Our North Star is always going to be our student-athlete success, and certainly football plays a key part, but others do too. We had four championships so far and conference championships this year. But what we have to do is create opportunity within the system that's in front of us for the long haul. And that means success now that begets success tomorrow and next year. And you mentioned a five-year window, and certainly that period of time, as we think about other opportunities for this rebuild, is super important. I think we're like-minded in the members we're bringing on board in terms of growth and trajectory. And so as we focus on football and the investment in football and the personnel, the student-athletes, and our culture, that's a long-term play. It starts now. Obviously, it started when we hired Trent, and we're building on that, but now it's about sustaining and growing that success.
Basketball, I know that it's been disappointing both with the women's team and the men's team, maybe last year with the women and this year with the men's, seeing the portal activity. Are you confident that you can get in a place where you can retain, or is this just how things are going to be in basketball?
Yeah, I think, again, the timing of the settlement exacerbated things in terms of the market conditions around this hyperinflation, because everybody's trying to get deals done before they start counting and having to be accountable. So I was just meeting with Wayne in our end-of-the-year meeting and talking about some of the things that I've shared with you, why I think this will tamp down and calm down some. That said, though, to be a realist, unfortunately, I think we all have to look at what we're doing as 1 year at a time, and we better be ready to reload every year. And it's disappointing in that it's not what the collegiate model was all about, but that's the bygone era, and it's time to move forward. And so with that, John, you know what we do? We focus on the name on the front of our jersey, not the back, right? It's about the brand and the university, the front of our jersey, not the name on the back. And as unfortunate as that is, it is where we sit and what we've got to adopt and focus on, the front of the jersey.
With revenue sharing coming, I hear some people saying this is going to help. It's going to help maybe keep everybody within range of the schools that are spending at the top. Can you help us understand that when you got a cap that is at $20.5 million in revenue sharing, if the regulations are adhered to, if there is an enforcement arm that people respect and honor, how does that help schools in the middle or schools, who can't spend at the top of the cap?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same issue, right? It's not any different than, in some ways, in terms of what Texas and Ohio State spend a day compared to, you know, the rest of us, except at the top. And so, it really benefits those at the very top more than it does those that are chasing it, because those that are chasing it can't get there. You know, the gap is wide. Now, it's not as wide. And I guess to answer your question, I'll tell you that as we build this, as long as there's a cap and we can work towards that cap, we do close the gap. If there wasn't a cap, that gap would never be closed. It would never be even shrunk. And so there is that. All of this, John, if I could just say, I mean, what this looks like in 5 years, I mean, we didn't know what this, you know, what we're dealing with today, we couldn't dream of just 24 months ago. So, I think we got to be thinking about things like collective bargaining and other measures that bring some more level playing field to this whole thing. And that changes the dynamics again. But I think the door is open now for this to continue to move towards more of a pay-for-play model. And that's, you and I have talked enough to know, you know where I stand on that. I'm a product of the collegiate model, as my wife and both my kids are, and what they've learned and taken from that. But it's a new day, and so how do we navigate the new day and keep our values and our North Star while we do it?
I was in Whitman County Superior Court, you know, it feels like yesterday, but it was September 2023, and you know, you were fighting for existence. You were fighting for the conference, and you and Washington State now have a media deal. You are, a conference now of 8 schools. You need at least one more football member after 2026. And how does that feel to you to have traction knowing what's in the rearview mirror?
It is unbelievable. In fact, I'll tell you, we were meeting the last 2 days. We're in the Bay Area meeting with our new members, and it was so fun to move away from the conceptual, strategic, visionary conversations to actual operational items like scheduling and officiating bowl games, and that brought, John, that brought to me the sense of reality of what we can look forward to. This has come together again. This, we're almost just a year away here in July of pressing go on this new rebuild. And so super gratified, so thankful that we're able to get to the place we are. And now we take this wonderful foundation that we've built and go from there.
Are you still mad about what happened, or can you afford to be upset? Do you have to focus your energy on the future?
No, you know, you got to leave that behind. You got to move on and use your energy to build, not to be pissed. So I'm way over that and spending my energy elsewhere.
I've got, you know, a lot of your close friends messaging me saying, "Hey, ask him how he's doing. How's your health? I know that you had the heart issue and you seem to have pulled through that. How are you feeling?"
Doing well, yeah. I'm near my college playing weight. It's just that the weight's in different places now. I'm doing good, buddy. I appreciate you asking, and I'm really looking forward to consummating some more of what we've been working on here and enjoying the fruits of our labor.
All right, last question. Pac-12 Enterprises looks like they'll get the production on the CW games. There was a question at one point whether or not that was a viable business. It looks like it's a nice little side hustle for the Pac-12 moving forward.
Well, I'll tell you, it's maybe even more than that because of the capacity, not only to take care of all the new members in terms of production and our media partners, but to go beyond that and actually service at the professional level, at other college level, and really create additional distribution for our members through this vehicle. So we're really happy with the progress on the Pac-12 enterprises.
All right, congrats on the media deal today, should we hold our breath for the 26 deal, or does that have tentacles? Is there anything you can tell us, you know, for people who want to know timeline-wise what to expect?
No, there's nothing I can tell you.
Well, we eagerly await the conclave and smoke from the Vatican on that front.
There
All right,
you go.
Scott Barnes, thank you. Appreciate you, man.
You bet. Take care. Bye.
All right. There he goes, Oregon State's athletic director. Strong words about the transfer portal, about ESPN's power, the shoulder programming, the glow of ESPN. You better believe, E is for entertainment. And ESPN getting behind your product with Oregon State getting two football games next season on ESPN. They will have their opener against Cal. They will have the game against Houston has been moved to a Friday night, as I told you weeks ago. They're moving that game. It has moved. I appreciate people who listen to the show because you mostly know what was going on. And today it's just sort of the finalization of that as the deal gets released. I also think it's interesting in the deal that, you know, without a doubt, the partners in 25, I'll say it, Barnes won't. The partners in 25 are key suspects and companies of interest when it comes to who will be involved in 2026. Teresa Gold, the commissioner, told me in November, we don't want to wait till 26 to begin telling our story. She said high probability that they, you know, there would be some carryover. Bob Thompson, the retired Fox Sports Networks president, told me late last night when I interrupted him to ask him, I said, hey, it looks like it's ESPN. It looks like it's CBS. What do you think of the deal? He said, great exposure. Probably couldn't have done better. Home run from exposure standpoint. But he said, I'm interested in what happens in 26. And I said, can we ascertain that these members, CBS, ESPN, and the CW, would be involved in the deal moving forward? And he said it's likely that they have something in the contract that gives them a negotiating window or gives them some kind of right of refusal moving forward. So I do think we're going to see ESPN, CBS, and the CW, potentially some other partners as well. Turner, TNT, who has given up basketball, seems awfully interested in basketball. But ESPN, I mean, it's obvious what ESPN is doing in buying the two games, isn't it? I mean, it's Pac-12 After Dark on a Saturday and Pac-12 After Dark on a Friday. There were several Friday nights and Saturday nights last season that ESPN didn't have a game in the Pacific time zone at 7 o'clock. That's a time zone that the Pac-12 can offer up in 2026 and beyond. I want your reaction to those TV partners. You tell me what you thought when you saw it released today. Pac-12's deal, 9 games on the CW, as I previously reported, and 2 games on ESPN and 2 games on CBS. And it's big ESPN and big CBS. This is not ESPN Deportes. This is not ESPNU. This is not ESPN2. This is ESPN, and it's CBS with a streaming element additionally on Paramount. This is not CBS Sports Network. It's CBS. 503-417-7575. Give me your reaction to that. Plus our big splash coming up.